You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
All right, well, welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we're going to dig into a really interesting industry. It's an industry built entirely around pets, pet care, pet products, and everything pets. My guest today is Philip Hill. He is the owner of Purebred Marketing. And as the name suggests, he is a dog lover. Philip, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm sitting here looking at your website. I'm looking at your happy family photo. You want to share with our listeners who's in that photo?
So Gin and Juice were my first two dogs and children. And I don't have this in front of me. So if I believe that I'm correct here, my wife, Jessica, who works on our team as well and runs our operations. And there may be another little puppy in there, Hef. I'm not sure how old that.
Hef is in here as well. Yeah.
We've added one little two-legged baby to the family in the meantime as well.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. So and I guess we need to expand the photo representation of the family, but you got three dogs in this photo. The name of the business is Purebred. As I'm looking through the website, there's a lot of dogs and cats on this site. So what gives?
So I went to University of Alabama. While I was there, I shifted quickly, realizing that I didn't want to take a traditional route. Ended up meeting with the dean and telling him, you know, I have some ideas. I think that, you know, if I could put something together, a major on entrepreneurship, which they didn't offer, I think that would be better suited for me. And so we sat down and created a course curriculum for me based on what would turn out to be, have me fit for entrepreneurship. And by the time I left, and so one of the projects for that was coming up with my own business. I obviously have always been a big animal lover, big dog lover. And so I just happened to, this is completely random, not something I was looking for. I happened across looking for a dog, just trying to adopt a puppy, and happened across a website where there was a guy that I knew, that his dad had coached me in football growing up, and he had these big, beautiful pit bulls on his website. And the stud fee for the puppy's father was more than the puppy's cost. And I'd saved up a little money from, you know, here and there, and bought my first dog. Had no idea what I got. I had no idea the quality. I just knew that I fell in love with this little puppy, and started doing a bunch of research and realized that I had bought one of the nicest dogs in the world, like coming from literally the nicest blood in the world. And so I decided and just fell in love with the breed. And so I ended up getting him a little girlfriend. And long story short, before I knew it, I built a number of businesses around my dogs. In the beginning, most of them were, there was no social then. There was Facebook, but there wasn't even like Facebook business pages. Mm-hmm. And so everything was driven from, we realized we have these great products. We realized people will spend a lot of money on their pets. Kind of like, you know, children, weddings, funerals, and pets. It's where people kind of spend aimlessly. And so, you know, we grew mostly from the search engines, I taught myself how to run Google AdWords campaign, then taught myself SEO, realizing over time I could make, you know, a much higher ROI with SEO. And then as social started evolving, you know, we started building these huge followings on social. You know, I tell people, when you are at the top, when you rank at the top of Google, the only people that knows that are the people that are searching for those terms. Your friends and family and other people, they have no idea. When you start building six-figure followings on social, it starts catching people's attention. And so from our, you know, kind of number of smaller, most of them were e-commerce stores related to pets and specific breeds. We we started having people reaching out like, what are you doing? I have a business that I post on our Instagram every single day. I have 500 followers. I can't figure it out. How do you have 100,000 followers? And then seeing new accounts coming up, kind of doing the same thing. And so it turned into just helping people for free until I realized like I'm working a part-time job helping people. And so from there, it turned into consulting, mostly around the search engines and social. And then about 4.5 years ago, we decided we have teams built out. We have these areas of expertise and we have a lot of people coming to us just passively without doing any sort of lead gen for ourselves or marketing ourselves at all. And decided to build out a true agency model around kind of all of our areas of expertise from a service standpoint, but also with a real focus in the pet space.
Wow. I love the fact that you were in the trenches doing this, figuring this out for yourself. This is not unique. I have seen other practitioners in different industries who, because, you know, the period that you're talking about in the early 2000s, right, is a period where suddenly we had, as business owners ourselves, access to do marketing at a much more advanced level than we ever had before. And so a lot of us rolled our sleeves up and just figured it out, right? Those of us who did it and then started having people, as you did, reaching out and saying, how are you doing that, right? Some of us then turned that into a business in itself. And it's a great story because you not only are a service provider for other businesses, but you've been there, you've been in their shoes, you know the challenges, you know probably what they've been through in terms of all the trial and error and frustration, I'm assuming as well. And that is a very powerful experience for somebody who is now sitting in the shoes of, you know, a marketer and a trusted advisor to your clients. So kudos to you. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what that has turned into since, the past 4+ years, you are now serving clients in this space.
Yeah. So most of what we do revolves around, just like you're saying, it revolves around the areas of expertise that we built ourselves. So when we're talking to somebody, it's almost, yes, we're giving a sales pitch, but it's almost peer to peer. Here's what we do. Here's what has worked for us. Here's what we think can work for you. So in the beginning, it was case studies of our own companies. Now we obviously have a lot of those. But the pet space is so intriguing because, one, anybody that we talk to, we know it backwards and forwards. We know the pet space better than the owners of the brands that we work with. And in one conversation, they get that. We're working with these people day in and day out. So from small niche, and by small, you know, couple million dollar niche companies, all the way up to, we work with Pet Supermarket, that's a $450 million national retail chain. But it makes it is so helpful to understand, to niche down and understand an industry inside and out. It doesn't mean that we can't work well in other realms, because we still understand marketing as a whole. But it is extremely helpful in, you know, day in and day out. And the other thing we can do is, like, we're not taking competitors. So if we have a niche dog bed company, it's for large dog, like we have a client that's large dog beds, that's basically mattresses, human grade mattresses for your dogs. We're not going to go take another large dog bed company, but we'll take a dog food company and a dog supplement company. And what we're able to do is we're able to cross a lot, like obviously with their consent, but we can do campaigns together where we're cross promoting people that have similar target audiences, but they're not competitors at all. It's just really helpful to our clients to be able to give them insights from what we see in other very similar businesses with similar target audiences. So I think that even as helpful it is for us to understand from a sales process and just being able to, you know, get through our day-to-day much easier, it's really helpful to our clients as well, all the connections that we have in the space and all the knowledge and insights that we can share.
I want to circle back to something that you said there, which I think is incredibly powerful for a business that, you know, is in your space or in any other space, understanding the value that you bring as the service provider with a huge amount of experience in this one specific vertical, right? So if a pet company comes to you, rather than going to, you know, any Main Street marketing professional or marketing agency, you have this added experience, intel, and data that exactly. others don't, that is incredibly powerful to leverage. And that's a huge selling point. If people didn't pick up on that, I really wanted to make sure to point that out, because particularly these days when we are, you know, data has always been a critically important piece of marketing, even before marketing existed online. But now that we have the power to access and manage around data these days, I imagine you have, you know, some pretty powerful capabilities. So I bring this up because what I want to know is, you know, without giving away secret sauce or inside information in your campaigns, what can the access to the type of data that you have from running different campaigns for clients give you the ability to do on behalf of a client?
Yeah. So all of the decisions we make following what we want to set up to test is they're all data driven. There's, you know, depending on what we're looking at, there's going to be different data for different things, but a lot of our clients, with the same target audience, even looking at data from different tests that we've run around different types of messaging, around different types of targeting. For instance, if we're running ads for any sort of dog specific company, and we're instead of just targeting dog owners, we can target Mastiff owners with pictures of Mastiffs, pit bull owners with pictures of pit bulls. We see which sort of audience, and it's not just breed specific. There's all kinds of different you know, avenues that we can go down, but we can see which of those convert best, which type of ads were we running for client A that converted best, that we can run those same sort of tests that we're kind of, you're still going to have to test everything that you do, but you're just further down that path because you've already weeded out a lot of things in years past working with other clients. And so taking those, you know, typically it takes a lot of time to test, collect data, and optimize as you're going, where we can cut those cycles down so much shorter because we've done so much testing in this arena already, that it makes it really helpful and speeds up that process. Another thing that we do that's really helpful is, so we have an affiliate marketing program where we basically just go out and build out commission-only sales forces for our clients. And so if we get a client that's in a random, a home decor client, we can do a good job for them, but we're starting from, and we do, we have a bunch, we have clients, you know, in a lot outside of the pet space, that we do a great job for them, but we have to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. Where we have pet clients that might have 5,000 people that are promoting, or sorry, 500 people that are promoting their brand, that when we get a new pet client, we just go tap into this existing audience that we already have. We already have these publishers, bloggers, review sites, things like that, that with one email, a new pet client comes in and we have all of this data showing who drives the most sales, what sort of content are they using that's driving these sales? How are we increasing average order values for these pet clients and how are they promoting that on their sites? And so like we can basically just drop them in our system and there's a few different areas that we can do that. Like health and wellness is another one that we do a lot in for that service offering. But the pet space, we just can dominate and really, really quickly based on just the sheer amount of data that we have.
I love that. This is, you bring up something that is very uncommon in the agency space, this affiliate channel. So I'm going to sort of, you know, step back for a moment and describe, there are lots of different ways to get people to become aware of or engage with your business, right? You were talking about search versus social media versus some other, you know, so those are the channels that we often think about. Now, I don't know too many agencies that deal in the affiliate marketing space that you're describing. So I wonder for, you know, somebody who's not been introduced to this as a possible channel, it's again, pretty powerful what you've just described, because it adds an additional way of getting eyeballs on your websites or people's attention about your business or your product or your offering. So can you sort of explain what an affiliate program is for business owners who are, you know, listening and going, well, that sounds cool, but I don't quite get what it is.
So an affiliate program. So a lot of people know what affiliate marketing is. They just think it's more like a passive referral program, which that's how most of them are set up. In the simplest terms, affiliate marketing is you have somebody that can be an influencer on social. It can be, you know, a publisher on a site. It can be a big media publication. They promote a brand. You have a little snippet of code. They have a unique URL. They drive traffic to your site. You have a snippet of code that you put on the back end of your site, and it tracks all of those sales. The affiliate platforms basically act as accounting platforms to keep track of all of these commissions for you and pay out the affiliates. So to the lay person, I tell them we just build out commission only sales forces. And then we have, you know, technical ways to track all of those sales that are made. Understanding this area, it's very frustrating. So many new business owners, small business owners, whatever it may be, that complain about not having a budget. We don't have a big enough budget. We only have $5,000 a month to spend on marketing, or whatever the case may be. You can get creative, you can get scrappy. And this is a way that we decided as an agency to get creative and scrappy ourselves, because our business took a big hit at the beginning of COVID. And so we knew people didn't want to spend a lot of money right then. So if we just gave them a smaller fee and then just took commission on top of that, it was really attractive. And so we just decided, let's just test this out and see how it works. And we hired somebody that's one of the, she's been doing this for about a decade, to come build out this department for us. And the results were just phenomenal. I mean, we have some clients that we brought in that are doing, you know, $100,000 a month when we bring them in total sales, and they're doing $130,000 a month in affiliate sales a month now. And it's about just finding those right affiliates. And then a lot in the beginning, it's just recruiting. We're going to go out and we're going to find everybody we can that wants to promote your product. And then from there, it's just data analysis and optimization. Who's performing the best? What are the offers that they're giving? What sort of coupon codes are they using? Some of them don't use any at all. And, you know, how are they driving that traffic and what's converting the best? And what we find is, and as a marketer, you will appreciate this. You know, a good conversion rate on an e-commerce site, 3% is kind of the baseline where we want to be. A lot of our affiliate traffic converts at like 8, 10, 12, sometimes 15%, just due to the nature of the traffic. Because it's traffic coming from, so if somebody goes and we'll use the dog bed example again and searches best dog beds for big dogs, and the first page of Google is review sites, and they see that brand on 3 different review sites that leaves this great review. And, you know, by the time they get to that site, they're already have trust with the brand. They've seen all the, you know, kind of highlights of why they should buy from this brand. So the traffic just converts insanely well too. And the great thing about something like affiliate, so I explain this to people because everybody understands how Amazon works. So I give this as a correlation. Amazon is great because they provide all of this traffic for you. So you put your products on Amazon, Amazon brings the traffic for you, and then you give Amazon a cut on the back end. There's some fees up front too, but for the most part, you're paying them a cut on the back end. But you don't own any of that data. So you can't remarket to those customers the same way you can when purchases take place on your site. So what we're doing is we're providing that traffic like Amazon is through all of these third parties, but it's going to convert way better because you have their dedicated, undivided attention as opposed to being in a marketplace like Amazon. And then when that purchase is made, those affiliates only get paid on that first sale. So if you have something that has, if your LTV is much higher than your AOV, you should be absolutely hammering affiliate marketing.
So, again, for lay people, LTV and AOV.
Lifetime value of a customer versus average order value.
Okay.
So for instance, we have a dog superfood company. Mm-hmm. If somebody buys that one time, they're going to buy it again and again and again. And so they're only paying that percentage out on that first sale. And then they own that customer data to remarket to them extremely inexpensively to continue to, you know, upsell them down the line.
This is probably the first time that I've encountered an agency owner who not only speaks the language of affiliate marketing, but has figured out that it offers clients a way to do marketing at a much lower upfront cost, right? And sells that, exactly. which is beautiful, because you've solved one of the biggest challenges, either in an economically challenging time or just a business that doesn't have the budget dedicated yet to marketing, right? To be able to provide a service, and that's brilliant on your part, and so congratulations on that as well. You mentioned something a few minutes ago about the fact that you're not just working with pet-focused businesses. And so, you know, this is a lesson that you and I chatted about before we started recording, but that I deal with all the time, and I imagine you do too, when it comes to some clients, which is that as marketers, it is a lot easier for us to get people to, you know, look up, pay attention, raise their hand when they know that the thing that is being offered or the business that's being presented in front of them is clearly for them. And we call this, you know, narrowing your focus, niching down, something like that. You've done that by focusing on pet related businesses. In fact, you rebranded your agency name around, you know, pet focused businesses, but you serve other industries. How did that come about?
So really initially this was an accidental agency from the beginning, right? We had people coming to us asking for help. And so we just started helping, and that was not pet specific at all. Our businesses that they saw us doing well and having success in were pet focused, but most all of those initial businesses that came to us were not. And you know, the big thing everybody pushes agency, you need to have a niche, you need to have a niche, you need to have a niche. But we had all these clients in all these different areas. Really the niche was more e-commerce, in general, but not industry specific or vertical specific within that. So I didn't want, I was scared to niche down. We had too many clients at this point in these different areas. And what I've realized is as we started niching more towards e-commerce, it was just way easier to close these deals. And then as pet clients came in, I'm not sitting in my office right now, but behind me in my office, I have a shrine of my dogs, all these like paintings, and on our website, they see dogs on it. All of our ads, we have the same face. It's half of one of my big, beautiful pit bulls faces. Nobody sees that when they click that, like it is very memorable. Mm-hmm. And so if we talk to a pet client, they have all these touch points that they are, you know, they just feel nurtured along the way and feel like, you know, we understand their business. And then in one conversation, and it's not just me, like other salespeople, if they talk to them, we're all dealing with all these pet clients that they realize these aren't just pictures I've seen of these dogs. This is what these people do. They know this backwards and forwards. And like I mentioned before, in most cases, we know the industry better than they do. And they love that. It's not like we're talking down to them saying we know more than you. They'll know their insides of their own business better. But as a whole, we know the industry inside and out. If we talk to a pet brand, as long as we qualify them, we are probably going to close that deal. Because we don't position ourselves as an option. We position ourselves as the option for that niche. And I think it makes all the difference in the world. And it doesn't, I don't feel that it makes it any harder to pitch people outside or to bring clients in outside of the pet space. Because we have a ton of clients outside of the pet space too. And I don't think it makes it harder to close them, but really nailing that niche makes it so easy to close those deals that are coming in within that space.
There's a marketer and business industry consultant named Jay Abraham that I hope some of our listeners are aware of. If you're not, go look him up. One of his most famous elements of what he teaches is something he calls the strategy of preeminence. And what you've just described there, you know, with probably a couple of additional things layered on that would maybe come across as braggadocious if you mention them, so we'll just leave them out, but is that strategy of preeminence is about you having absolutely no competitors out there. Now, I'm sure that there are other agencies that specialize in pet, you know, industry businesses, but you bring something unique to the table that they don't, and whatever that might be, we could explore that. But that's a great position for pretty much any business to be in, And the fact that you've been able to, you know, identify that and play it up to the point that, you know, somebody is pre-sold based on, well, you said as long as they're qualified, right? So can they pay you? Do they deliver the goods in whatever it is that they're selling? You know, is it a reputable product or service, et cetera? And whatever else, you know, qualifies somebody. But that it's a clear connection. And having a business like yours where you're in a position to have somebody go do some research and go, well, as long as I like the guy, it's a perfect fit. We're going to go ahead with it, right? That's a great position to be in.
Yeah, that's right. I think the other thing that adds to it is it's stuff like we truly care about these companies because we care about our dogs. Until we moved to our new office building because we basically were forced to because our old one got shut down during COVID. Like, we had dogs in the office every day. It was part, we met every single person in our office building because everybody knew that we were the people with the dogs. It got kind of tiresome after a while when people were having rough days. They came down to our offices to get some puppy love.
Emotional support, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, which was great. We actually got a fair amount of business from it too, of people coming that we met just from the dogs. But, you know, really caring about your client, you should care about your clients regardless of if you care about the product or if it relates to you or not. But there's a whole nother kind of human personal element that's added when, you know, our whole team has dogs and loves them, their pets in general, to be able to really add that extra kind of personal touch with the clients we work with.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. I love what I've seen so far on your website. I have more to explore. But I imagine that I'm not the only one who wants to be checking out the website and learning a little bit more about what you do. So for our listeners who are interested, where can they go and find out more about you?
Yeah. Purebredmarketing.com is our website. You can get all the information of what we have to offer and also see some of those pretty dogs on there.
There's some gorgeous animals on there, and I really appreciate the background, the story, and, you know, some of this which didn't come across on the website. I was happy to kind of hear even more of the story because it really fleshes out the quality of the business that you're running, the services that you're delivering, and the thought that you put into the work that you do with your clients as well. So, Philip Hill, thank you so very much for hanging out with me and chatting.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks so much for hanging out with us and look forward to seeing you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.